There's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. You guys better split.
Well, I thought you'd just buy me a beer.
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for the beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
I got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
Is it beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up.
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. Rather being sober.
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out our last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, this is Dustin.
This is Seth.
And we are Drunk at the Movies, brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois. Well, kids, we are 2 weeks into the month of December. We are continuing our Christmas movies. Last week, you heard Santa Claus, the movie, which was my pick for us to do. We're each picking a personal favorite, and then we're doing just a good old classic for next week. But this week, we turn it over to Seth, and he made this choice.
This is by far my favorite Christmas movie. I used to have the whole Die Hard as my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, you were one of those, huh?
Yeah, I was one of those for a little while, yeah. Years ago. But this one I actually grew up watching over and over as a kid. This is another one of those, like, how did I even see this as a
three-year-old? Ironically, released in June.
Why is that ironic? I'm lost right now.
Because it's a Christmas movie.
Oh, okay. Just because. All right.
That's... Yeah. But like Hocus Pocus was released in July, so.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Figure that one out, folks.
Yeah. Any horror film that's not released in October just doesn't make any sense
right.
to me.
And it literally takes place on Halloween, much as this takes place on Christmas.
Which is, again, I think people don't see it as a Christmas movie, even though it takes place during Christmas, because it's just sort of seen as a comedy about race.
Yeah, I will be honest, this movie is in my collection, and I don't keep it with my Christmas movies. I feel this is one you can watch all year round, but it takes place at Christmas.
Right.
Much like Die Hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those that later and Gremlins. People were looking for a Christmas movie that they, you know, didn't, that they weren't ashamed to say were their favorite Christmas
exactly. movie. Exactly. So yeah, we are watching Trading Places, starring Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy, I believe in his second film role.
I think it was his second film
role. Two Saturday Night Live cast members and directed by a favorite of both of ours, John Landis.
Yes, this is one of three movies he directed that I absolutely love and think of constantly.
Yeah, well, while we watch this, we're going to enjoy some beer, naturally. I mean, we are drunk at the movies, and you can't get drunk unless you drink, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's the holidays. We encourage everybody to drink responsibly all the time, but especially during the holidays, the roads are bad and shit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got to go someplace to have a drink, stay there for a little while.
Yeah.
Have some water.
Yeah.
Spend the night.
Marinate.
Cuddle up together.
Have
it's
fun.
The holidays. Yeah.
And what we are drinking today can kind of be tied into what we're watching. It's called Pelvic Sorcery. Now, I know that is a Guardians of the Galaxy reference. This is a red ale, 5%, and it says Maris Otter Malt lends a bready backbone for the caramel malts to dance upon in this true-to-style amber ale. Succumb to its pelvic sorcery.
Mm.
Now, there is a hooker with a heart of gold in this movie,
yeah,
and she can work some pelvic sorcery.
Doesn't have the best wigs.
No. But, oh, we will get into that for sure.
That pelvic sorcery is something to look out for.
So that's what we are going to drink. And yes, pelvic sorcery is something to look out for. So check that out at Bearded Owl Brewing. Now, again, we're coming to you. It's December 13th. No, I'm wrong. It's December 12th. I'm a day ahead. I'm in the future.
All right. Hey, how'd you pull that off?
Well, you know, podcasting is magic. Cool. So it's December 12th, and actually coming up in a few days, there's a cool event out at Bearded Owl. Hopefully we will be in attendance, and it is Christmas Vinyl Day. Mm-hmm. So you can come listen to some great Christmas music on wax and drink some of these beers, such as Pelvic Sorcery. So come on down, Bearded Owl. It'll be a good time. Something else that's a good time is our opening credits song of the week.
Yes.
And this is a little bit of a medley, and again, ties in perfectly to our beer choice, because it is called Merry Sexmas. And this is from Reggie and the Full Effect. Now, Reggie and the Full Effect is a side project of James DeWeese from the Get Up Kids. I actually hung out with them 2 weeks ago as of recording day when they were playing at the Castle in Bloomington. So James and I hung out a bit. He has been a past guest and interviewee on Drunken Lullabies. So if you want, you can go back in the feed and find that episode. We did like a half hour phone interview, and been a fan of his music ever since college. So it was cool to hang out and shoot the shit. And we're going to feature some of his Christmas music. So here we go. It's Reggie and the Full Effect with Merry Sexmas here on Drunk at the Movies.
Hello, everyone. It's that time of year again. Snow's falling. Children are singing, Santa Claus delivering gifts, and I've been naughty, so naughty. But I put this little medley together so that you know, wherever you are, you're not alone this Christmas, because I'm here with you. Dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the tree tops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. Hey, listen, sleigh bells. Now we're gonna pick it up. 2, 3, 4.
Yo. very much.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling sexy and I'm ready to watch a movie.
Now, when you guys were hanging out, did he give you any insight into that song or any background information?
No, it's basically Reggie and the Full Effect is made up of it's James and other people. But within Reggie and the Full Effect, there are other bands. There is Common Denominator, which is a Scandinavian death metal band, and they have a song on every album. There is Fluxation, which is a Euro pop dance group, and that is who made this song. So it's an alias in an alias. James is a very complicated man.
As soon as you said Scandinavian death metal, all I could think was Olaf metal.
Yes,
that's his fucking metal
Berserker. But yeah, you can check them out, Reggie and the Full Effect. All their music's available on all your streaming services, but I own them all on vinyl and CD because I love physical media. So go support James. He's got a new album out this year called 41. It's in my top albums of the year. And actually, we got to premiere a song on that Drunken Lullabies episode before the album even came out.
Nice.
So check it out. The album cover's great. It's a parody of the Adele 21 album. And so it's just a black and white photo of him propping himself up on his hand, and it says 41 because that's how old he is. So there we go. All right. Well, it's time for us to get the movie going. So get your copy of Trading Places ready and hit play on the DVD menu.
We hope you're in the mood for Mozart.
Yeah. In 3, 2, 1. And we have the captions on because we always do. Now, this movie's rated R. We cuss enough as it is, but it's rated R for some other things, which
there is a little bit of nudity.
Little bit.
There are a couple of racial slurs that are uttered.
That is true.
But there was the 80s. A way to promote the absence of racism and to point out how horrible racism is.
Yeah.
They were used, not said. They were said, not used.
So it's a Paramount, a Gulf and Western company, and as Seth said, we have some Mozart playing. Were you a big
movie about canoers, apparently.
Yeah. It takes place in Philly, which...
And shot on location in Philly.
Yeah, entirely. There's the Liberty Bell. I have been there.
Salvation Army getting you in the mood for donating.
Or, you know, other things, if you're really... poor people make me horny.
Nothing about being poor makes me horny. Trust me, it sucks.
Yeah, but if we can't be horny while we're poor, then what do we have, Seth? What do we have?
Rich people make me horny.
Oh, cause, okay.
Because, you know, opposites attract.
So have you been to Philadelphia?
I have not been to Philadelphia. Let me think.
Have you ever seen Tom Hanks with AIDS?
Not in person.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, but yeah, I did see him in a movie about Philadelphia.
City of Brotherly Love, they call it. Neil Young sang
like
a song.
Like Philadelphia cream cheese was the product available.
Yes.
At the counter.
I'm waiting because there's an homage to Philly's favorite son, favorite fictional son, very yes. soon. He'll be here eventually. I was actually supposed to see the new Rocky movie today, but instead I had to have my car worked on for 3 hours.
Oh.
Because that's a fun way to spend a day off. But I digress. There's a lot of recognizable names right there.
Oh, my God.
Frank Oz, James Belushi.
Al Franken.
And Al Franken. We had Paul Gleason earlier, Jackie Gleason's son, but, you know, the principal from The Breakfast Club.
There's Denholm Elliott making his first appearance in the film. He is one of my favorite lesser-known actors of all time.
Yeah, he's great in this. And there's that guy, Deborah Nadulman.
A noodle man.
So, you know, we're showing the two sides of Philadelphia, those who have and those who have not.
And they actually went to the slums. They actually went and got permission from a lot of people who were just bystanders, to be extras in the film. So those are actual streets of Philadelphia and people just hanging out.
Oh, that's another great song.
It is, yeah. And hey, there's Tom Hanks with AIDS.
Yeah. No, oh, look at that him. Door. That's for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania office, just busted in. Those people are all selling plasma, I'm guessing.
Yeah, either selling plasma or looking for jobs. Could have been the unemployment line. But then we have Denholm Elliott, who's taking fresh croissants out of the toaster oven. But then back to a bag lady outside of a building. So we're getting this great establishing opening montage.
It could have been a bag man.
Could have been a bag man. It's hard to tell with all those layers.
You know, everybody assumes that... Hey, there he is. Everybody assumes it has to be a bag lady, but I think... I could be a bag man if I had to be.
Now, co-written by Timothy Harris, didn't Timothy Harris write the Hannibal Lecter novels, or is that a different writer altogether?
That's Thomas Harris, I believe.
Thomas Harris.
Yeah, well, it's his brother.
Fuck me, then. Now, look how well lit this shot is. This is Denholm Elliott going up the stairs, and this is this beautiful... And
directed by John Landis, right on his ash.
Branded right on his ass.
All right.
But anytime you have a place like this with like lots of wood and these rich colors, back then it was really hard to light because it just soaks up all the light. So they had to just like flood the room with lighting to make it look natural.
Speaking of lots of wood, it's time to wake up Dan Aykroyd here. And looks like he's cuddling a pillow there, which, you know what? I sleep with a third pillow, usually against my side. I put it between my legs because I have horrible knees.
Those aren't pillows.
Right, exactly. So we have a black and white 8x10 here on the desk of his...
One of the guys from Chips.
Of his love.
Penelope.
I thought this was so weird the first time I saw it. Like, pork bellies. Like, why is he talking about pork bellies? Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, he's an idiot. Like, he's looking at stocks. He's like, pork bellies.
Like, it was the jerk or something.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought was going on. It's like, oh, this is like the idiot son of some stockbroker, and he has no idea what he's doing. Like, he could have just as easily said, peanut butter jelly sandwiches. I think something's going to happen with those.
And when I was a kid, I thought that was, I mean, I didn't get what I thought the joke was, but I thought that that was some kind of a joke as well, that like it was supposed to be funny as he was
obviously
in the pork bellies, which I think it is. There's
he's not a farmer.
Of comedy into it. Yeah. And that's where the element of comedy comes in, that this guy who clearly has no interest in
actual agriculture can't even open his door. Hey, we have that same kind of tree in our backyard where it sheds like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of a pain in the ass.
I have a cat like that.
I got a cat like that. All right, so he's arriving to work at, was it Duke and Duke?
Duke and Duke.
He got a double
Not
Duke.
Quite the Cook brothers, but pretty close.
And obviously, Christmas time, there's a Christmas tree right there. So we are setting the tone immediately. It is Christmas. And this guy just stands there. That's like Dave Foley's dad, I think. was just standing there waiting for his coat. Everybody's saying hi.
Everybody says good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Doctor.
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 Doctor. Fist bump.
Boom. Wonder Twin Powers Unite of movie references.
All of the location shots in this movie are very impressive to me because they just stayed in Philadelphia for the majority of the film and just got, you know, rented out the spaces and... got to shoot for the day, and I think only well-run production units can make that happen.
Yeah. Now, most of the sites I saw in Philadelphia were historical, you know, like Betsy Ross's house. We saw the Liberty Bell. We saw, you know, where the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we also saw the Norman Rockwell Museum.
Oh, how was that?
It was pretty cool.
I actually love him.
Yeah, and we took a horse and carriage ride around town, and we had a really cool... tour guide named Leon. I still remember his name all these years later. I was like 13 then, and he was like dressed up, and he really was in the part. It was super cool, and he recommended we go there, and he's like, if you go there, tell them I sent you. And my dad's like, oh, okay, sure. And he's like, oh, yeah, he probably says that. So we go, and they're going to charge us the admission, and my dad goes, Leon sent us, and they're like, oh, he's so great. They actually took money off of our admission.
Nice.
And she's like, he sends people here all the time. He's the best. So, like, that actually was a thing. And it was super cool. So, we went there based on his recommendation and got a discount because of it.
Now, I have to point out real quick the mansion that the Duke brothers just left.
Yes.
That is actually an institution
No shit.
And I don't know if that's the, yeah, there it is again. That is
sanitarium.
Right.
That's a nice looking sanitarium.
And they were looking for a building to shoot that could be their mansion, and they had run out of snow in upper New York. This is like one of the only places in New York that they were shooting.
Okay.
And so they were looking for any location that still had snow on the ground that hadn't been trampled, or like a dog peed on, or a homeless person hadn't was sleeping on. And this huge building had that beautiful snow set. It was
gotcha.
It still had setting snow, and it happened to be an institution for the mentally retarded for rich people.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's for wealthy people with issues.
Now they're talking about pork bellies, and this is when I was like, oh, okay, he's not an idiot.
Right.
Now these guys, Don Ameche, you probably recognize him from Cocoon.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph
Bellamy.
You may also recognize Don Ameche as the voice of Shadow in Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
Yes, that is true.
One of the last things he did.
Or from the
Harry
same
and the Hendersons.
Character, Harry and the Hendersons.
Yes.
And the same character in Coming to America.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a great little connection.
Eddie Murphy just loved being called the N-word by him.
Yeah, he was uncomfortable using that word.
As he should be.
Yeah, and the as an actor, he was just like, oh, I don't want to say that, or the F word. He mentions the F word.
I got no problem with fuck, but yeah. Even when I'm singing along with NWA and stuff, I censor myself.
Right, you stop singing along for just those two syllables. Right.
In my own car alone, that's how deep the white guilt is, people.
Yeah.
So there's that same picture of Penelope. And, yeah, more classical music. I used to listen to classical music when I studied.
I did the same thing.
Now, I believe this gentleman here, the doorman, is James Earl Jones's dad.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He's an Earl Jones.
All of the dialogue that Eddie Murphy, or a lot of the dialogue that Eddie Murphy came up with in this character was made up by him.
Oh, I don't doubt that. So he's on his knees, looking like he has no legs, on like one of those gym class scooters that you would play kickball on. The Heritage Club.
How you like a stump up your ass?
Stay out of here.
You got a lot of soul. Appreciate it.
I think part of the reason Eddie Murphy's so hilarious is he almost plays it straight. That's a very realistic con artist.
Yeah.
It's not a real exaggerated or cartoony character. If you walk down the streets of any major city and you come across a con artist like that, that really is how they talk. They open with, hey, I'm not trying to bother you or anything.
Right.
I just got a quick question for you.
I think it's interesting that Jameson advertises on the back of Science Journal. Oh, yeah, frozen orange juice. And you're talking to me about human
nature. Money isn't everything. I like how they have matching tie patterns throughout the movie, but one's a bow tie, one's a necktie. Met it as a compliment.
This guy's great. The milkman.
Yes, there.
Ezra, that's it.
Or butler.
I bet you thought I'd forgotten your Christmas bonus. There you are.
Oh, a fiver.
$5. Maybe I'll go to the movies by myself.
Half of it is from...
And this is in 83. Thank you, Mr.
Mortimer. So that's what? The equivalent of... You're better with money than I am.
I'd say probably 10 by now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's probably doubled.
But these guys are worth a lot.
Good, Lewis. Feeling good, Todd. We need a fourth for squash today, Lewis. Are you interested?
Never played squash?
I've never played squash.
I'm not a fan of squash, period. The game or the gourd.
I like the gourd. I'm a big fan of butternut squash.
You like it? You a zucchini man?
Not so much.
Okay. I'll do a fried zucchini.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of these buildings, I don't believe any of this is set. I think these are buildings that they lived in or rented out.
Well, it's that time of the month again.
Oh,
wow.
Aunt Menzies is here.
And no forgetting to sign the big ones.
You seem to be paying some of our employees.
Could you see yourself this rich? Can't
get around. Fuck no. Minimum wage, Mortimer. I've lived paycheck to paycheck since I was a teenager. So, yeah, it's incomprehensible for me to be financially stable.
If you could be this rich, how would you want to make so much money that you could like control things?
Pardon. Like how would I have made my fortune?
Yeah, how would you have made your fortune if you could be that wealthy?
By doing this podcast.
There you go. Good answer. The arts. The arts.
So if anybody wants to make me a millionaire by doing movie commentaries and drinking beer, I'm willing to sell out.
That was just a good setup for sponsorship on my part. That's what we're just trying to make it sound natural.
Hey, we love Bearded Owl. We're not going to get made millionaires, but that's not what we're looking to do. We're just in it for the free beer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that pelvic sorcery.
I'll take care of this one personally.
So that seems sketchy, right?
Yeah. Goodbye. But I'm guessing not uncommon.
Like, oh, yo, this check here? Yeah, don't worry about that. We'll take care of that.
We'll take care of that ourselves.
I said good day.
Winthrop is a very sticky young man. We're lucky to have him managing our firm for us. Oh, hogwash.
No, pork bellies.
Harvard. He's the product of good environment. He's got nothing to do with environment. With his genes, you can put Winthrop anywhere and he's going to come out on top.
And here we go. We're laying the
blood. And act one is underway, folks.
We're getting the premise all good to go.
Everybody's been introduced, and the plot starts moving forward.
Hey, baby, what's happening?
Now, he's supposed to be blind. How did he know a lady was coming?
And that's what... this was definitely improvised. This was just Eddie Murphy having a good time for each shot.
Me and you!
Here come a couple police officers.
And even this is him doing his Stevie Wonder impression that he used to do on SNL.
Exactly.
Who's that? What you want?
Police.
Yeah, there are so many comedic actors that are great at improv, and a lot of them just end up being, you know, character actors and bit actors, and so it takes a certain kind of charisma and that certain thing. Eddie Murphy's just one of those actors and people who always seems to have had it. And a cool person, too. He's always like, if he said anything that was controversial or that upset groups of people, he was willing to listen to it and go back later. Like, Ladd was upset with them for a lot of his early
comedy. Oh, yeah. He dropped the F-A word a lot.
Yeah, he dropped a lot of F-A. He actually drops it in this movie.
Yes.
And a lot of his early stand-up was reliant on stereotypes against homosexuals. And when he was called out on it, he was really apologetic. And flat out said, like, I am not proud of that material. I wish I hadn't done it.
He just grew legs.
I can see! And then again, a lot of that apology might have had to do with him being arrested for picking up a transgender prostitute.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Jesus! Praise Jesus! People change.
But yeah, people do change.
Oh, this is beautiful! I can't believe... Thank you! I don't know what to do with...
I also just... I kind of keep hearing Donkey from Shrek.
Yeah.
You know, because... Now I'm more familiar with his family comedies than like the early stuff. I don't watch as much. Daddy Daycare, Disney's Haunted Mansion. Which we watched.
Still
recently.
Haven't seen Daddy Daycare.
I actually like that. Jeff Garland, Steve Zahn.
It was funny. That's
pretty entertaining. Oh, this is the doorman. Yeah, that's James Earl Jones's dad.
Okay.
Yeah, same guy. But yeah, I read originally this was supposed to be a vehicle for another duo. They had a lot of movies in the 80s that I am a big fan of, Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor.
Really?
This was originally supposed to be for them. And Pryor backed out. And then Eddie Murphy was brought in. And then they brought in somebody else to take the Gene Wilder place because Eddie Murphy didn't want to be seen as a prior replacement.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where Aykroyd came in because he had worked with Landis in Blues Brothers.
Right.
And, of course, I'm sure he was familiar with Eddie Murphy. They weren't on SNL at the same time, but, you know, at that point it was still kind of a small club
and
that people were in.
In fact, Eddie Murphy was in mind for Winston, Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. That would have been good. Nothing on Ernie Hudson.
Oh, yeah, not at all. But I'm glad he got it because he's
Eddie Murphy, done a lot of great work that role would have become a lot bigger of a part, I think, if Eddie Murphy was in there.
And what had happened was Eddie Murphy, because of this movie in SNL, was up and coming, and he went to do Beverly Hills Cop instead.
Axel Foley.
He was getting offered main roles, lead roles, instead of, the fourth Ghostbuster.
So what happened was Dan Aykroyd came out of the, I almost said gentleman's club, whatever it's called, and bumped into Eddie Murphy. He dropped his briefcase. He tried to hand it to him, and Aykroyd panicked and thought he was being robbed. Mm-hmm. And then we had a kind of slapsticky cops and robbers chase scene, and now we're finding out what's going on here. A little bit of racism.
It was broke, so what?
Great line. You come from a broken home?
Yeah.
We was broke, so what? There's a great line coming up here as well.
You ain't talking to this guy. I want a lawyer. Is there a lawyer in the house?
Nope.
That was John Landis's idea from the research I've done. And by the way, there was a great podcast that came out earlier this year. At least it's available on YouTube.
I can prove it.
That had a lot of great information on this movie. The first production, first assistant director, was interviewed by Rogue Quant.
Oh, okay.
And he gave a lot of great insight to the making of this movie.
Now he's being taken away.
Breaking of the fourth wall, another John Landis.
There'll be another one a little bit later. It's a John Hughes move, too. But yeah. I think Landis did it before
Landis
Hughes.
Has a certain kind of cut that he likes, a nice arc cut that he likes to do of a character reaction.
Oh, here's our wager.
What do you think Windsor, say if he would lose his job, would resort to holding up people on the streets?
Jaws music.
Yeah. Just losing his job would be enough for Windsor.
We got two old money men wagering on the livelihood of two younger guys for a personal bet.
And when you say old money, are you stressing how old their old money is, or are you saying
they're
old people?
They're old
money.
People, and they've got old money. Okay. They come from a long line of wealthy people. They've never had to worry about anything, and you know, we're all insignificant to them.
If you wanted to really stress it, you could say they're old money.
How much
you
okay.
The usual amount. Why not?
Oh, the usual wager.
And we'll find out what that is later.
A little bit later. What is he making
here? Looks like some kind of orange
quesadilla
kind of thing. Oh, that sounds kind of interesting.
Stand against criminals like that.
But he could have killed you.
All right, so this is where we see Penelope for the first
time.
Think.
Instinct takes over.
Had a crush on her as a kid.
I can see it. She only had two roles, this and one other movie. So I don't know if she knew somebody.
Did Lewis tell you what he did? But
she was only in the two movies?
Yeah, she was in Trading Places and one other movie. Let me look up which one it was here.
I want to see if I can stare at her long enough to figure out.
You're so hot-tempered, darling.
She almost looks like Annette O'Toole.
I think that's part of it. Like, she doesn't even have an IMDb profile picture.
I want you, Lewis, now.
In the worst ways.
Coleman. Sir?
Her name is Kristen Holby.
I think we'll take our drinks.
She was born in Oslo, Norway.
No dessert.
1951, and she was in the movie Manhunter.
Okay.
As Mrs. Jacoby.
Okay, that's what I've seen her in.
And Trading Places, and that's it.
Interesting.
So, Manhunter, of course, that was the original Hannibal Lecter movie.
Yeah, the first Red Dragon before Red Dragon. It was a Dino De Laurentiis production.
Get on with it. I missed it.
Damn. I was going on about Dino De Laurentiis. I'm sorry.
Scientific experiment.
He's on the bat phone.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's plenty of busts that they can press buttons on in this house.
I'll say.
Yeah, we're going to get a better shot in a little bit.
I shall make the necessary arrangements.
He should have said necessary.
And a very good night.
Necessary.
Yeah. Necessary arrangements. Aluminium.
What a scumbag.
Oh, here we go. Mumsy. That's how you know she's she's rich.
Yeah, Mumsy and Pupsy.
Mumsy.
This might have been the first woman I ever saw in underwear. It was either her or Janet Leigh.
Oh, well. Both decent.
Yeah.
First woman I saw in her underwear might have been somebody in the JCPenney Sears Roebuck catalog. But beggars can't be choosers. Just not fair. Weird science, though. That was something.
Yeah.
No. Department of Agriculture gets the
first time I ever saw men wearing underwear as well.
Yeah. They didn't have the hip bones like that in the Sears catalog.
I'll just have to ask Todd to take me.
Is hip bone a turn on for you, or do you not like to see the skeletal structure peeking out through?
I mean, I'm okay with it, but I also like a thick ass, so that's like the arch nemesis of a hip bone. I'm just
you can have both.
I'm just appreciative of the female form.
I'll take anything. Excuse me, sir. I take what I can get.
Will you be needing me anymore this evening, sir? No. I
do like the bow.
Everything I want.
It's a nice touch.
I'd
be like leave it on.
Too.
Leave it on.
Right. And I don't know.
I don't know what that says
about me. I don't know that I like that. I like the bow. That's troublesome.
See, I had to keep you doing the tight pants, man.
Okay, guy on the left.
Yep, Gus Fring.
Giancarlo Esposito.
It is Gus Fring slash Mike Girardello, for those of you who are Homicide fans.
This is the second movie I've seen him in recently that I didn't know who he was at, you know,
at
way
time.
Back when. And it's like, holy shit.
What's the other one? Was it...
So it's a movie that we may watch eventually.
All right.
So...
Oh, okay.
So we'll, I won't reveal it yet, but you may hear it in a few months. I like the guy's King Cobra iron-on sweatshirt right here. Are you a fan of the malt liquor?
A quart of blood technique. You do that, a quart of blood will drop out a person's body. Tell how you beat on the cop.
I want to know how much of this was improvised.
Right.
Made up.
I love the two heavies
right.
that are going to come in here in a bit.
Not the greatest actors, but they're having fun.
In here and booked you.
I could have been the one on the left.
Yeah.
That's
I had two older brothers. One was 8 years older than me, Jason. So he was about, 16 when I was watching this movie all the time. So he got the jokes I didn't get as a kid, but I knew they were funny. And, they don't show their weaknesses. You know, I knew they were funny just because I knew that there was humor behind it, but I didn't really get a lot of it. So I watched this a lot, not really getting it. And then the more I watched it growing up,
you grew into it.
That I knew were funny, but didn't know why.
Right.
Yeah.
Didn't I tell you that the phone in my limousine is busted and I can't get.
Now, do you think you would ever have your brother on the show?
Not that one.
Not that one? Okay.
he would be a boring podcast.
I gotcha.
My brother Jeff, yeah, he's still right. Alive, so he could do
it sometime. Sorry. Well, I was meaning Jeff. That's why I was like, really? Like, Jeff's an amusing guy.
Jeff got along.
Yeah.
Back the fuck up. Back up. You know you fucking with in cell number 4 on the ninth floor.
Billy Ray Valentine?
Yes.
Moving.
That's a pimp name.
You made bail.
I did.
How did that happen?
And even this was shot on location. They actually shot outside the Philadelphia Police Department.
May I suggest using a nightstick, officer? Yeah!
That extra was like the perfect
he was going
extra
for it. Yeah,
who like looked over his shoulder like, what's going on back there?
Hey, and don't
like,
even
turned right to camera in time.
Barely see their face, but they were selling it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's a little confused right now, and here come the Grey Poupon people.
There's a fun backstory about this car.
Is it a Rolls?
It was stolen during production.
Really?
And they weren't done using it yet. So they couldn't find it. They had to like rearrange the schedule and shoot other places and all this shit while they were looking for the car, because I'd already started shooting with it.
Right.
They found it in a parking garage. Turns out it was stolen by the guy who rented it to them for insurance purposes.
Oh, good
came
God.
Up with this elaborate backstory scam of how he had private investigators looking into it as well, and they found it.
That's a movie plot on its own.
And because the guy was selling it so hard, they just had to go with it, and like so he got double paid because he says that it got stolen under their watch. So for insurance purposes, they had to pay him again, apparently. So Hollywood got scammed.
Now Don Amici is very excited here.
Yeah, he's selling it too.
Yeah. Got a bottle of whiskey or something there.
Whiskey, cigars.
Are those Itza Boys? Those are my favorite kind of cigar.
I like the bubblegum Itza Boys.
My brother and I run a privately funded program to rehabilitate culturally disadvantaged people. We'd like to supply you with a home of your own, a car, a generous bank account, and employment with our company.
I mean, I grew up in Pekin. I don't know if that qualifies me as what they're looking for.
I think so.
I've never done meth, but I'll give it a shot if I can.
If it'll get you.
If it'll get me that kind of life.
Yeah.
This is a practical joke, right, bro? Then these dudes a couple of faggots in, huh?
Nope.
Nope, there's one.
Yeah, wait.
What's my next move?
Hey, that can be part of the drinking game. Anytime there's a cringy, not so.
Cringy, not so comedic buzzword.
Yeah.
For you, take a drink. Used for the sake of comedy.
You're a free man, Valentine.
And not for the sake of
we
furthering
can stop
the plot.
Right now and, you can walk out on us forever.
And of course, nudity. That just goes for any movie.
Yeah.
Anytime
yeah.
there's nudity. And we will accept being in your underwear with a bow on your head. Close enough.
In fact, that's no. five drinks. That's no, I believe I can apparently that something that we both enjoy.
I'm Randolph Duke.
How you doing, Randy?
My younger brother, Mortimer.
Hey, Marte, what's this? Billy Ray Valentine.
Yeah, Capricorn. I'd say that.
That's like Randy Jackson, Jackson 5, right?
Oh.
Yes.
How about Randy Watson?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
The dropping of the two F-bombs are, like, pretty much the things that keep this from being a very near perfect film.
Yeah. Because it isn't a very dated movie. You
and
know.
In the ways that it is dated, it could almost be seen as a zeitgeist film. It's very telling of the times. It's very much a movie of its times.
Well, and even with the decorations and stuff, there's definitely people who probably still live in houses that look exactly like this.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
30 years later.
And probably still act like this as well.
Coleman.
I think it's brilliant to have cast these like old 1930s actors.
Yeah.
Then with new up and coming, like very current star actors.
I like this scene. Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, there's the two F bombs.
I think you'll enjoy it.
No full frontal for Eddie Murphy.
Hey, so don't. Say, man, when I was growing up, we watched Jacuzzi. We had to fart in the tub.
That line was hilarious to me.
Oh yeah,
I was a kid.
It's still got a chuckle out of Brianna and I when we watched it the other night.
So did you not watch this a lot growing up?
No, this wasn't one that I really saw.
What's he doing in there?
Actually, not as a kid at all. So, yeah, it was an older movie for me.
Send him to the laundry.
So that hot tub reminds me of James Brown hot tub from Saturday Night Live. Like I knew that reference and it made me think of that.
Very nice. I like the way you got the marriage over there. It's very pretty.
And that was, again, that bit, I didn't get the reference as a kid, but, like, my parents thought it was funny, and they explained, oh, well, James Brown's a singer, and, like, I feel good, and then I got older, I got familiar with it, and it's like, oh, okay, now I get it.
See, I had been familiar with Weird Al's Living with the Hernia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so that's how I was familiar with James Brown.
Living in America.
And then I just saw, after that...
Right, Rocky IV was my introduction to James Brown, for sure. And that actually came out, it was like the anniversary yesterday of when that was released theatrically. So there's another Rocky tie-in for Philly.
This kind of thing happens
the blocking of this scene is ingenious. This the entire staging of the comedy of this whole movie.
Like, you can still see the other guy in the mirror.
You can see reactions through the reflection. So he's cutting away to action, but still keeping it in a wide and a medium shot, which you want to do for comedy. Because you want to see reactions to the situation happening around the person who's guiding the scene and the comedy of the scene.
So he was attempting to steal his own belongings.
Yes. Because he doesn't believe that it's his stuff.
Oh, would you?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, you just got out of jail.
Right? I own this vase, and I can play like Harlem Globe try to shit with it, right? Okay, you want Mellow Lemon shit, right?
Oops.
Hey, man, I'm sorry about that.
Perfectly all right, William. It was your vase.
Mortimer is not happy.
That's a cheap vase, man. That was a fake, right?
I think we paid $35,000 for it.
But I seem to remember. Still more than I make in a year.
Right.
In 1983. Fuck me. See,
William has already made us a profit of $15,000.
This scene is almost like its own little comedy sketch.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, the entire movie is like a series of comedy sketches that all unfold to tell one long story.
And you can still kind of tell Coleman hates them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's laughing with them, but eh.
It's the, you know, that saying, you know who butters your bread.
Yeah, and there is Richard Vernon. You mess with the bull, you get the horns, folks. We've seen him on Drunk at the Movies before, Breakfast Club, as our favorite 1980s principal. But now he is Mr. Beaks.
And you may recognize him from Die Hard.
Yeah, other I believe he's passed, like, yes, fairly recently. I've been reading a book all about John Hughes and the Brat Pack movies called You Couldn't Ignore Me If You Tried. And it's been a really, really insightful book with a lot of great behind-the-scenes stories from all those movies that I love so much. And he was one of the interview subjects for that.
Is Judd Nelson in it a lot? I mean, that's where the...
Yeah, they had a whole, like, 30-page chapter about the Breakfast Club specifically and how Judd Nelson stayed in character on set for half of the filming and people hated it and hated him and told him he needed to tone it down
because I didn't know that.
He was pissing people off.
I had never heard
that. Like, he comes from, like, a well-to-do family and they knew that. Uh-oh. So he's, like, acting like a hard ass and stuff and being an asshole on purpose. And it rubbed people the wrong way, especially John. He almost got fired from the movie.
Okay.
But the casting director was like, no, he's perfect for the role. Hang in there. I'll talk to him. And they're like, you need to chill the fuck out. You're pissing people off. And he kind of mellowed out a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, he was trying to go all method, and that doesn't work for John Hughes, apparently.
Yeah, and also when you're that wealthy and people know it, it doesn't work.
And he's sitting here among us.
It's the equivalent of trying to be like a real cool, artsy, like, like hipster kid. I'm all into the bohemian thing. I drive a Lexus.
I'd like to introduce Mr. Beeks of Lyndhurst Securities.
All right, so shit is going to go down here.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you gentlemen to all stand up.
It's time to do the hokey pokey.
I'd like to ask you to place your left hand on the shoulder of the man to your left.
Or the I'm a little teapot dance. I'm not sure which.
Your own knees, Father.
I would now ask you to place your right hand in the coat pocket of the member to your right. And empty the contents of those pockets under the table.
Oh, a little lower. Oh, there you go.
Thank you.
I tuck my dick up.
You may sit.
Up and to the right or to the left? You a drifter either way?
Just straight through. Straight through. It peeks through the top of my waistband.
Like it's a climbing a vine.
We mark three $50 bills with red X's.
Why would you do such a thing?
Less than 10 minutes ago, those bills were stolen from a coat in the cloakroom.
What?
This delivery of this scene reminds me of the law student skit in Mr. Show.
By the time this class is over, one of you will have been murdered. A very slow, casual stroll across the green carpet there.
It's like a very little person walking across a billiard table.
Yeah. That's a funny visual. Oh, he's stopping in front of Dan Aykroyd here and busted.
What? Murmur.
Rutabaga.
Wait a minute. I've never seen this money before in my life. Randolph Mortimer, this is outrageous.
He's never seen $50 bills. I find that hard to believe.
Oh, never not rolled up before.
Yeah.
I'm glad your parents are not alive to see this.
Well, that's cold.
Wait, now this is totally preposterous. This is insane.
In fact, I killed your parents, so they would not be alive to witness this. Random shot to old paintings.
And it's
those frames are not centered, and it's driving me nuts. Oh, here's a favorite.
He's
buddies with Landis, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because he's in some of his other movies.
And this apparently, again, from what I heard from the Rogue Quant, is that this was the first assistant director's idea to cast.
Oh, okay.
Because John Landis was thinking out loud, like, "Oh, who are we going to get for him?" He was like, "What about bringing back Frank Oz?" Since it was like the same role in Blues Brothers, and he said that Landis was just like that. He's like, "You are the best first AD ever. That is a great idea."
Yeah. When I saw him, when we were watching this, I told Brianna, "I'm like, well, let me know if his voice sounds familiar to you." Now she hates the Muppets.
Okay.
So it was questionable whether it was going to sound familiar, because he's not going to talk like Yoda in this movie. Yeah.
Stole money, you did.
That's a damn good Yoda. Everybody tries to do Yoda.
Yeah.
And they always fail. That was a damn good Yoda.
That's a lot of years of watching Jedi shit. But this is straight Fozzie Bear.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Miss Piggy. Right. It's Fozzie. I almost wait for him to say waka, waka, waka.
Uh-huh. Or Studebaker.
Yeah.
One alligator skin wallet.
I once found an abandoned Studebaker in the woods, and I was delighted, and I climbed in and took a picture in it. And is that strictly because of the Great Muppet Caper?
Did you go back and repaint it with a bunch of house paint?
I did not.
La Boheme.
La Boheme.
Opera.
I love quoting that line.
It's an opera.
Anytime somebody says something snooty,
yeah,
and I run my girlfriend.
Snooty?
Snooty.
Snotty.
I turn to my girlfriend and go, it's an opera.
That's not mine. I've never seen that before in my life.
I like how he takes a taste and knows instantly it's PCP.
That's PCP.
I love this line because
angel dust. You ever seen what this stuff does to kids?
Because he's Miss Piggy. Man. That line is fucking hilarious.
Lewis.
You can see him starting to smile. He was breaking character
a little bit.
Last
well, didn't
frames.
He? He did a mugshot in Blues Brothers too, didn't he? So,
and I think that's at the end of the movie when they do
the bloopers. Writers,
I think that was his blooper was during.
Oh, okay, this guy has been in tons of stuff too. The bartender here.
You got a lot of nerves showing your face around here.
I just recognize his voice.
Yeah,
immediately.
I got you.
His name is Bill Cobbs. He's not old enough here for maybe you to recognize him, but he super big character actor. My favorite role of his is Del Paxton in That Thing You Do, the jazz musician.
Okay.
Which we've done an episode of That Thing You Do back in the day. And he was in Demolition Man, People Under the Stairs. Pretty much anytime it's like, hey, we need an old wise black man, Bill Cobbs is the guy they go to. 190 credits. So, yeah, he's done a lot of work. Still alive. He's probably still acting.
And not understand my sexuality. I know, and I'm a very sexy man.
No, he's not. 2015 was his last credit. No, I take that back. 2018. He's playing Mr. Hendrickson in Dino Dana. I don't know what the hell that is. And he did one episode of Superior Donuts. Now, these girls he's picking up in this bar, kinda big time skanky, right?
I mean, I don't want to be judgmental. You never know. Sometimes people have a certain look, but they're
well. We're gonna see a hooker later. I'm not saying these are women of ill repute, but if I came into a lot of money, these were not the women I would be going to pick up.
I think
you could raise the bar a little higher.
And if you do something like that, I think you learn your lesson pretty quick, and I think Billy Ray is going to learn it pretty soon.
Yeah. These are the type of women that Patrick Bateman picks up to kill.
I love Denholm Elliott sneaking drinks at the house
party. Oh, yeah. Now,
that is not a flattering color on anyone. The no, lizard.
There's a lot of high-waisted pants and spandex.
There is
and
lots of spandex.
Bad hair. Only Dolly Parton can pull off a blonde bouffant like that. Not an African-American woman. Sorry.
I think some can.
That's a Dolly do.
Like the beer cans at the bottom of the stairs. Yeah. Beer bottles.
It's like a high school party. But the thing is, now he cares. Before, he wouldn't have given a shit about this, and he's beginning to change, and he's getting pissed off.
1 week ago, he would have been one of the people at the house party not giving a shit.
Exactly.
Now he wants to know who's putting their cools out on his floor. Who has been putting out their cools on my floor? He can just hold a pose and get a laugh. The guy's just got great comedy timing.
What's the other big menthol cigarette?
I can
picture the pack. Salem? Newports.
Or Newport.
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 That's
yeah,
it.
That's a big one. Where'd it go?
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life.
Never?
Never.
Good for you. Stick to it.
Cigarettes.
Stick to it. Oh, but you've smoked meth before. Oops, sorry.
Up, tits.
Distracted. Put your clothes on and get out.
Up. Oh, now, and then we got to take another drink.
We got this, nudity shots. All right, two in a row.
This is weird nudity, so I don't know if that
this
makes
it... This
is a
weird strip tease. You already took off your top. What are you still trying to tease for?
Also, how many parties have you been to where there's a dance scene and everybody just dances topless?
Well, she's technically a prostitute trying to get attention.
Yeah, I guess.
Denholm stops to admire. Coleman is like one of the best comedy sub-characters ever.
She's like doing the robot. The robot is not a sexy dance.
No.
If you can do the robot naked and make it sexy, that's a mic drop. I don't think it's been done.
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
All right, you heard, listeners. If you can do the robot and make it sexy...
Send the videos to Seth Bennett at hotmail.com. Another fourth wall break. I don't know what that was. Like, was she stealing that coat?
I think that was intentional.
Oh,
I think
she just looked at the camera.
She's not a very good actress.
Oh, and there's a...
Yeah. They're getting kicked out.
Hurry up. And be quiet out there. My neighbor's asleep. They work too.
So that scene, have you ever seen this on TV before?
No.
So
what are the edits?
They shot a television-friendly version. It's called television coverage. When they go back and they, like, anything that had brief nudity.
Yeah.
They just throw a T-shirt on.
No shit.
Real quick, or like, you know.
Okay.
If you ever see a movie where you're like, why did she wake up in the morning and she's wearing lingerie and uh-huh. sex? A lot of times when you see that on TV, that was a TV coverage edit, and it wasn't
interesting.
Like that in the theatrical release version. And that's they did that with this. They did a few TV edits, and there was one edit.
I wonder if movies really bother with that anymore. I think now that standards on cable and television are a little different, they probably don't bother.
Probably not. And if they do, they'll probably just CGI it later on.
Yeah.
Wrap it up in post.
Well, I mean, there's like the uncensored version of Gone with the Wind where it's like, you know, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
And then shoots her.
Yeah. In the face.
With a sawed-off shotgun.
Yeah. Let's
go. This is all shot in a real jail.
Yeah.
They had to rent this out.
So Aykroyd, a little balding there.
A little balding.
And
a little roughed up.
Yeah. I'm guessing that's blood. On his mouth.
Excited.
Hey, we got our first appearance of Jamie Lee Curtis. All right, so at this point, she's, I think, 24. She's mostly only done horror movies.
Yeah.
Of course, famous for Halloween.
Yes.
Classic. Mm-hmm. Undisputed classic. She's one of the Oh, iconic scream queens.
John Landis' mom leaning on her shoulder.
Oh, really?
There. Uh-huh.
I like the guy. Is he cleaning his toes? What is
so. The guy that likes her purse.
No, that's a different guy. He comes right. in
this
in a
guy
second.
Leaves and then the other guy comes in.
Yeah. So Penelope looks very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But Jamie Lee, this was like her first comedic role.
Yeah.
And I guess producers were kind of hesitant on her being cast.
Yeah.
Did they have anybody else in mind?
I don't know. I think I did read that there were a few different women who auditioned for this. I don't remember who they were, though. I didn't
Carrie
that, though.
Fisher. That's just going to be my
We can just assume. Yeah. I mean, you know.
It happened in Clue.
Right. She was God in Clue's
damn.
Brothers.
So. If that was true, I wish it had been Carrie Fisher. Because, again, Return of the Jedi era, and there's a scene coming up that it's like... Fuck. I didn't even think about it. That just came out of my mouth. I want Carrie Fisher to be in every 80s movie ever. Rest in peace, Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's raise a glass for Carrie.
You'll always be my princess.
Man, we do a lot of glass raising.
We do. And it's a...
We even mentioned my brother earlier, and I didn't raise a glass to him. Sorry, Jason. Here. Cheers to Jason.
You get a clink. Where I've been since yesterday. Yeah, and I was talking about your alive brother, so you made it awkward.
I know.
Don't put this shit on me and make me feel like an asshole.
That was one of my favorite lines in the movie. Those men wanted to have sex with me.
Does that happen in a holding cell very often? I haven't taken very many field trips to jail, but I have a feeling there's not a lot of raping going on in holding cells. Oh, here we go.
Throughout that entire scene that I love.
I have
any idea where I've been the last 24 hours?
He got fired. Charges against you for embezzlement. His lady's about ready to leave him.
I've never stolen anything in my life.
Look at the man I loved, whose children I wanted to have and breastfeed.
That's a weird thing to say, right?
It's really weird. That's why it's hilarious.
Listen, I swear to you, on my honor, with Almighty God as my witness, I am not an angel dust dealer.
It is funny how they keep saying heroin, and he has to correct them, which makes you sound guilty.
Right.
But I feel him because I'm that. I'm
right.
that
that's
way.
That's what I would do. I'd be like, it's look, like, that's no, not what that's I was not- arrested for.
I've been looking everywhere for you, baby. Listen, Louis, I'm hurting, baby. I just need a shot.
That Ronald McDonald wig is just.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never seen this. But she's just wearing it with such chutzpah.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. Just a dime bag.
So we were discussing while watching this.
Wait, this is the second movie where Dan Aykroyd starts to get a blowjob that I've seen.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get that as a kid, but then I got a little older and I was like, oh, yeah, I see what's going on here.
Right, it's like, oh, she's going to take off his pants.
No, I was just, I was into Sigourney Weaver getting like clothes ripped off in the chair. I was into that, but I didn't get the ghost blowjob. Did not have any concept of a blow jibber at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't
you put
know.
It where?
Right. I didn't know that it went anywhere, let alone it could go there. Man, he paid me $100 too. Over there. Yeah, her.
She looks old for 24, great. Right? So let
me get this straight. I think it's the wig and the makeup.
Okay.
Because once you see her body later on,
yeah.
That's a 24 year old body.
Yeah. Are you referring to a perkiness? Anywhere in the city. Possibly.
Her posture.
Posture.
Her posture is just...
she has a perky posture.
Appropriate. You know, appropriately perky posture. Hustling
you. In her hustling you. Pelvic sorcery.
You don't think they give these to just anyone, do you?
I don't think half of those are real. And
services in over 86 countries around the world.
Remember the little toy kits that you'd see at, like, the pharmacy?
Mm-hmm.
They still do them, but especially when we were kids.
Fake credit cards?
Yeah, I remember those existing, like fake badges and fake credit cards.
Badges?
Stuff. We don't know those sticking badges.
Oh, so this is a sad scene. He goes to his house, his brownstone or whatever it is.
Yeah.
No, the key is not working.
Yes.
Poor Coleman.
Coleman, could you please let me in? I'm having trouble with my key.
Who are you? What do you want?
At first, I couldn't remember his name at the beginning. Like, I knew it was Coleman with Eddie Murphy. I'm like, did they change his last name? So, like, he's pretending to be a different person to, like, fuck with him even more. But no, he was the same all the way around. What kind of fur is that, you think? Fox?
Fake?
Well, yeah.
Faux? No, it's not faux. It's pronounced fox.
Yes. Fox. Fox. Because it's what she does.
She's a foxy lady.
She's a fox that fucks. That is a very high miniskirt.
Yeah.
Hello? I'll be making a cash withdrawal in the amount $500.
All right. I love scenes at banks because that's where I work, and I like to see how realistic they are.
Is this realistic?
Not at all.
Does somebody come out and cut up your credit card in front of you?
Well, here's the thing. We have Skype.
More bow ties.
So, like, if something goes on, we can, like, text. I used wearing Chuck Taylor's. I like that.
I like his mesh shirt.
They're broken. Yeah. Sorry, Mr. There is no way somebody would come up that quick.
Right.
With a cop. We don't have cops. Granted, we're not in Philly.
Right. Maybe this is a super high-end bank.
Maybe.
Do this kind of thing.
I work in an affluent branch. We do have a lot of money with our customers.
Yeah. But what's your security like?
I've been ordered to repossess them.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, that's what not am I good.
To live on? I mean,
the streets. To me?
Roger.
Roger, Roger.
We have clearance, Clarence.
What's up with her earrings? What are they?
Why I was looking at the clothespin.
Deliberately trying to ruin my life.
Tell you what, forget about the $50.
Okay? Yeah, that's a weird sculpture, right?
You're right, those are weird earrings.
Yeah. It's like, is it a penis and scrotum? Is it like supposed to be subconscious?
I think maybe.
Oh, and now he's on his knees.
Which really, even, I mean, the costuming in this movie, it's a very near perfect movie. Like, every level of production was extremely well taken care of and well considered.
Wait! I have over $150,000 in that bank.
It would be hard to keep your eye closed all the time.
Do this to me.
I thought she was flipping him off at first.
Get off your knees, Louie.
That's my job. I'll teach you some things. You can make that 150 grand back real quick.
Give me your hand.
Oh, she's a palm reader too.
I thought that when I was a kid, I was like, is she a palm reader? What's that
yeah.
mean? Soft hands? I didn't get what that meant.
Yeah. Soft hands. Mm. I like a man with soft hands.
I'm going to regret this, bud. Come on.
Your face?
Get in.
Your vagina? Well, I see how your first dates go.
I just like that we think very much alike, but not the exact same. There are differences. This scene is not easy to choreograph. All this, they blocked off the street and choreographed
just like the dude
all this to stop at just the right time.
And again this makes me think of another John Hughes scene, Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Where the dad's in the one car and Sloan Cameron and Ferris are in the cab next.
Right there, the dude right over there.
So, again, I think... I think John Hughes was definitely a John Landis fan.
Yeah, that makes absolute sense.
Ferris, another one we've already covered. One of my all-time favorites.
This is some strange.
And I love that Billy Ray picks up on everything.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. He can tell. He knows a con.
Yep.
He knows when people are being fucked over.
Well, and that's the thing, because that's the world he's grown up in, you know. What they want
from me. It's a great screenplay, because it's not just a, hey, wouldn't it be funny if it happened, and being whimsical. It actually has levels of drama, and there's great social commentary going on behind the comedy, but it's mostly so funny that it doesn't distract.
Right, because it's called Trading Places, and originally, I thought it was going to be kind of a take on The Prince and the Pauper.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dan Aykroyd was tired of his life. He wanted to switch places with Eddie Murphy. That's
like
not
a,
it.
Or it's
at
like
all.
The Holiday, that Holiday movie where they intentionally switch and see what their lives
it's,
are like.
It's a forced switch that they are not privy to.
And if you haven't picked up on it yet, the title Trading Places has double meaning.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't picked up on the trading going on.
Pork bellies.
Yes.
They'll come back into play.
The frozen orange juice industry.
Yes.
Which we're going to get another of our great fourth wall breaks coming up pretty quick here.
In a bit.
Right on time. Come in.
Man, look at that computer. That's what is that, a Commodore 64?
I think so. I'm going to play some war games. Thanks, guys. I already had breakfast. Starring Ali Sheedy and Matthew Broderick.
If you spend 10 minutes punching in the buttons on that computer, it'll bring up like an American flag, or you can hear a doorbell sound effect.
We are commodities brokers, William. Now, what are commodities? Commodities are agricultural products, like coffee that you had for breakfast.
I don't drink coffee.
Wheat, which is used to make bread.
I have a gluten allergy.
Pork bellies, which is used to make bacon.
I'm Jewish.
I'm vegan.
Bacon and lettuce and tomato sandwich.
Fourth wall break.
Ding!
So I was confused there because it's like, is it just like they think I'm an idiot? I don't know what a BLT is.
Right. Okay. So he's like, okay, why are these people talking to me like I'm completely stupid? Just because
I'm black
on the street doesn't mean I'm incapable of understanding what you're talking about.
Now, some of our clients are speculating that the price of gold will rise in the future, and we have other clients who are speculating that the price of gold is going to fall. They place their orders with us, and we buy or sell their gold for them.
And he knows exactly. He calls them what they are here in a second.
Right.
Like, he boils down their whole explanation that takes minutes and minutes and minutes, and he's like, you're bookies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, pretty much. We are middlemen.
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
I told you he'd understand.
Genius.
This movie should be forced viewing for pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe in forced viewing, but you know.
Right. Consensual viewing.
Oh. Very extremely suggested viewing.
Oh, she just, she's very friendly with Larry there.
Goosta dude.
You know those people?
Yeah, they've been inside me. I mean, do we really know anybody? Existential hooker. That's a new web series I'm developing.
I'm in, dude. If you need somebody on the writing staff, the director, I'm in.
Oh, sure. He went to Harvard.
I mean, if he's being driven around...
Can the existential hooker be Jean-Paul Tartt? Can that please be her name?
They always come in me, but it always makes them leave. It's ironic.
And Colvin... After years of service, this becomes
so,
I don't understand.
That's a reveal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that got an audible reaction from Brianna. Like I kept mine internal. But she was like, damn. I was like, yeah. Okay.
You're like, what? What? Damn what?
It's a horrible color.
What?
Like, I can't believe she's wearing that either.
Why would anyone try to pull that off? And those shoes.
Oh, you're referring to the fact that you can see her nipples through her dress. Yeah. Yeah. Ophelia. I get it.
I know. She killed herself. This is not Shakespeare, Louis. Look, I'm 24 years old and from a small...
Got the See You Next Wednesday poster in the back. Landis staple.
The only thing I got going.
How about See You Next Tuesday?
I never saw that one.
Cunt! That's what it stands for.
Oh.
If you say a woman is a real, see you next Tuesday.
I've never heard that before.
Really?
I really haven't.
So we just had the wig reveal, and you're like, oh, thank God.
I like her pixie cut.
She's always had it, right? Like, from this era, it never really grew out.
I just now realized with that makeup and that haircut, she's got kind of a David Bowie thing going on right now.
She
kind of
does. And I was going to say, I was waiting for this scene, because it's very appropriate to talk about during this scene. Whether you find her attractive or not, because I mean, there's the whole urban legend,
right? There's that whole rumor, urban legend.
She was born a hermaphrodite whatever.
Yeah,
and I can kind of see it. Her bone structure or something does kind of lend itself to be slightly masculine, but yet obviously feminine in other ways. So she does kind of have an androgynous look, and then with the pixie cut, adds to it. But then you see that, and you're like, yep, that's not a dude.
Sorry, what?
And no, I like how she covers herself after they've been reflected.
Right. Well, there's a difference between seeing a reflection of one's body on camera versus one's actual body on camera. The answer is, I do think she's attractive, but I wasn't always physically attracted to her. I think it's one of those, like, personality attractions, and the more I saw her in more things, and the more I saw her even in interviews and everything growing up, she became an extremely attractive woman to me.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, she's got a great body and everything.
And you know what? I'll put it on Front Street. I mean, it's been out for a little while, but Christmas with the Cranks...
I never saw it.
Okay, so I love Christmas movies, obviously. She's probably in her 40s in this movie.
That's like True Lies era, right?
No. It's like a decade after True Lies. Like, True Lies, she had the striptease scene, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, Jamie Lee still got it.
Yeah.
This was a little bit later. This is like she's playing almost close to being a grandma.
Oh, okay.
But she does a scene where she goes in a tanning bed, and she's in a bikini. Christmas is around the corner. Still, you know, she could still get it.
Yeah.
You know, so I haven't seen the new Halloween movie. I doubt she does.
There's a whole lot of nudity in that one. But just the fact that she did the movie.
Yeah.
She's always been so committed to, and so kind of dedicated to that character, because she's like, hey, it kickstarted my career. My mom was a scream queen. She's just such a cool person that, I eventually found her extremely attractive.
Well, she, you know, we did Psycho, you know, in October. And for the people who don't know, Janet Leigh is her mom.
Right.
And we have waxed philosophical about her mother. So I guess it's only appropriate.
Oh, that's what you were waxing.
We do the same for the daughter. But... She
such a weird thing.
I know, right? She's got good genetics, is all I'm saying. So
and her grandma too, Vivian Leigh.
Oh yeah. Does she have any daughters, Jamie Lee Curtis? That we need to be aware of.
I think we brought this up during Psycho. In fact, apparently.
Future prospects for episodes, but she did a cameo on the TV show Scream Queens, and like made a nod to. You know, being very familiar with the shower scene, and did that as a tribute to her mom, which was cool. So yeah, if you're not aware, now you are.
Oh, here's a great during rehearsals, Don Ameche nailed this every time.
The and money then, clip.
Yeah, right here, this money clip, when he goes to catch it. That juggle. He just stayed in character and tried to...
And he's laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he just stayed in character and kept walking so they could use
it. So they dropped him. Mortimer dropped his money clip to try to entrap Eddie Murphy or something, but he brought it back. This song is ridiculous.
This is so fucking weird and rapey. And like you can picture Kavanaugh singing this with his buddies back in fucking Ivy League.
Yeah. Down in Whitley Hall, Constance on the make. Constance Fry.
Constance Fry. Anytime you call. I just think of Cameron Fry.
Yeah.
When Cameron was in Egypt's land, let my Cameron go. See, I was trying to sing with them, but
yeah. I'm the guy on the right that does the low, you know, that's the really low end.
I should have gone there. I went for the Tom York range.
And she stepped on the ball.
You're not funny, Janice. It's my gag. My God, I don't believe it. Oh, she got the bow back.
Ah, there you are. I think I'm going to be
sick. She's pregnant? Don't worry. I'll handle this, Pookums. Pookums.
Oh, yikes.
God, yeah. Mary, they got a dog named Snookums. This looks completely Pookums. Awful, but
I
just wanted to Pookum Dano.
I want a V-neck friends, like that. I am completely innocent. I'm going to fight this
thing till the end. Someone is out to get me, and I know who it is. The man. The important thing is that I can rely on you. That my tie clothes. Does not go with that shirt nor that jacket.
I'd wear it.
That's a big clusterfuck of a wardrobe.
I'm going to be defending myself. And the actress who had the steps on the ball line looks a bit like Cameron Esposito. Until
the hearing. Oh, okay, the comedian?
Yeah.
Comedian? Frankly, my sister just saw her at the Castle Theater a couple months ago. Have front row seats.
She has a show coming out soon, I think she's doing right now, that I'd like to see. I believe I'm still a member of this club.
Nobody wants to buy Penelope's wristbands matched Louis. Her vest.
Oh, yeah? Away. Is that a euphemism of some sort?
Carpets match the yeah, it's the rich way of saying. my wristband matches my cardigan.
It's an
if you catch my opera. Drift, Muffy.
Her Diddley. Muffy matches her Muffy, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Bo Diddley.
Bo Diddley. Burnt my fingers, man.
Wasn't he in Blues Brothers?
Man, that might have been. Smoking. Now, Bo Diddley, blues musician, had a slight resurgence in the late 80s, early 90s, thanks to the Bo Jackson Nike ads.
Yeah.
The Bo Knows commercials, and then they did one.
It was
like,
another Bo No commercial.
Yeah. Bo Don't Know Diddley, and then Bo Diddley comes out.
Mm-hmm. And Sonny Bono was in it. It was great. $6,955.
That's a ridiculous amount to spend on a watch. Is he listening to himself? Like, there's blues music playing. I wondered, like, is that a Bo Diddley track? And they just worked it in. Man, I'm so good, I listen to myself.
Yeah. Here's another great John Landis take. Once he sees what's in the case here.
How much for the gun?
Just looks up at. That reminds me of. Can I have 10,000 marbles, please?
That's how I count money back at the bank. I just pull it out in a folded up wad and I lick my thumb and just like flip it out.
Like people like Harpo, lick my thumb on one hand and then count the money with the other and just look ridiculous.
Oh, so this is where Dan Aykroyd tries to be John Cusack and he's like standing in the rain looking forlorn through a window.
So everybody can see it. So, but what do you want that for?
Oh, this joke. This is a great joke.
Great classic joke. Yeah.
Look at that escargot.
Escargot. Get it? Because that's what snails are called. Yeah, she doesn't get it. She can get it, but she doesn't get it.
But she doesn't get it.
Yeah. And she's going to try to get it a little bit later. She's going to try to turn it into a Spike Lee joint. Jungle Fever. That was a Spike Lee movie, right?
I think it's three real good.
Yeah, it was. Like, and speaking of joint, they got some drug use coming up in this movie.
Oh, yes, they do. As I said, I've never smoked a cigarette.
That's right, you have never smoked a cigarette.
And three,
just the meth. Wait, you said you haven't done that before.
No. Really. No.
Is this me?
Yeah.
All right.
We went all the way through our pelvic sorcery while we were talking about Jamie Lee Curtis naked. We're moving on to a second beer, which I don't think has ever been done. we've got a Moon Jumper Milk Stout from Distill. Sponsors of the regular show, Drunken Lullabies. So we're having a little double sponsored dip here. Okay, she should have put the cherry stem in her mouth, whispered to him, and pulled it out tight in a knot.
I think so as well. 100. Also, that was a pretty gutsy move to just lean in and whisper into his ear at a round dinner table.
They got a weird relationship. He's a cuck.
Dude's into it.
He sits in the corner and he wants to watch that big black stud fuck his young wife.
Jesus.
And you can find it on any porn site. I'm not telling you nothing you don't already know.
I don't watch pornography.
Fuck you.
It's an opera. Are
we doing next? Okay, also, is this a normal thing, you think? Like, guy John turns up at her house for a regular appointment. I don't think they would want people to know where they live, right?
I think it depends. Nah,
I know
depends.
She's a hooker with a heart of gold, as we talked, breasts of gold, as we are about to see again.
Yeah.
Because, like, I want to get sick. If this is what happens when you get sick.
This is better than the nurse fantasy.
Yeah, this does not happen. Like, I had to call in to work. This is not real.
Then again, he just lost $150,000. So, I mean.
I've never had it, so yeah.
That's true.
I guess that I don't have that option. But that's got to be uncomfortable. Why would you wear earrings that large in bed?
That's a good point. Shut up and go to sleep.
You can't prop your hand up on your head there.
Maybe she took off the one earring.
Yeah.
That she's
maybe
on the side of her head she's leaning on.
She's like, I could be fucking right now, but nope.
99.5. You're not getting out of bed though until it's normal.
I feel fine.
My dick is perfectly fine.
You have work to do and so do I.
He's talking about her having sex with strangers.
I'm gonna go shopping and then I'm gonna come back and make you a nice quiet dinner.
I mean, not complete strangers. One brought her flowers.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're probably on a first name basis.
They're all named John.
Yeah.
Like the golf club on his pajama sleeve. Is that what that was?
She subscribes to the Financial Journal.
I think she brought it to him.
Oh, okay. Who's that a poster of? It's kind of cropped out. Looks like a man in water.
Oh, I thought it was breasts or a shoulder coming out of water.
I think it was like some kind of young stud cheesecake type of thing.
Selective vision.
Oh, there's a Dirtbag Santa in the background there.
This was my Facebook profile picture for a little while.
Yeah.
A shot of Dan Aykroyd dressed as Santa sneaking some alcohol.
What is that?
That looks like ground beef or roast beef.
That's a big old slab of roast beef, but this is a pretty baller party, so. Yeah. So Eddie Murphy is
dressed as Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah. Paging Mr. Herman. Mr. Herman, you have a telephone call. He's checking the checks, and there's one for Clarence Beeks for $1,000. Same name that Aykroyd called him on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's all this?
What's all this then?
And there's Aykroyd.
Love that shot.
He, the inspiration of Bad Santa, you know. He's the original hobo Santa.
My girlfriend and I have
this is ridiculous.
Just like that. Is that salmon?
He's taken a whole smoked salmon and stuffs it in the front of his Santa suit. The one that's going to smell horrible. Two, you don't need a two. It's just ridiculous.
Ah, William, where have you been? The party's already begun.
Some work to finish in the
matching ties, Christmas mm-hmm. style.
Even William wants to keep working, Mortimer. I'll think of you in Stockholm when I accept the Nobel Prize.
The wager has two parts, as I recall. Something about a second party turning to crime.
Say what?
Just that look. Like, yeah. He just knows where to put comedy, even where it doesn't exist in the dialogue. He knows to keep some comedic element alive somewhere.
Mr. Clarence Beeks.
I'll take care of them.
Oh, also, I think that was our last topless shot of the movie just a little bit ago. So cheers to that. We didn't
send out for those who couldn't join us for the topless
shot. This is why you need to watch,
but we're
watch along.
Here.
Merry Christmas. We didn't get any in Santa Claus the movie. Which is probably good.
No.
Probably for the best.
Oh, God. Santa Claus the movie. I'm drinking to forget.
Yeah, it doesn't happen all the time on this show. So, hey, when we see nice boobs, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll be fair. If we see male full frontal, I'm like, damn, that guy's packing. I'll say it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen very often.
Right. And I don't see us watching the piano as a drunk at the movies. I don't think that Jane Campion is really going to be...
right.
...lend herself to drinking a lot. Her movies are fantastic, but...
Who are you?
I've caught him red-handed.
Winthorpe, is that...
Movies involving deaf people are hard to talk through.
Have you seen Sweetie? Her movie she did before the piano that was very was almost avant-garde, very cult, dark comedy. It's weird. It's a weird movie, but it's a
yellow ones, red ones, ones as small as tots. Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs. Armor hot dogs. The dogs.
One fish, two fish.
Yeah, that too.
This man's obviously a lunatic. I'm calling security.
So he had Quaaludes. Those aren't even a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Hello, security. Merry Christmas.
Pulled a gun. Good delivery.
A cracking voice can be very unfunny. Every time Eddie Murphy cracks his voice, it cracks me up.
Big misunderstanding, all right? I don't know nothing about your house and your car and your job, really. Can you put that gun away? Were you asked to do?
Put that gun away at once, Winthorpe. You lost your mind?
Freeze, slime ball.
That's what Gandhi says in Gandhi 2.
I was just gonna say that.
Freeze, slime ball.
Drunk at the Movies, episode 3, UHF.
You'll be sorry.
That was a good one with Daryl and Groucho, who we hope. You know, you used to know him as the Dream Team. We do all the John Hughes movies. We're going to try to get it to where Seth and I sit down with Daryl and Groucho to watch a John Hughes movie very soon. Daryl's having some health issues at the moment. Daryl, if you're listening, get well soon, buddy. Yeah, and we hope to have you behind the mic sooner than later. Those herniated discs are a bitch from what I hear, and surgery and all that fun stuff. So no rush, but Daryl, Groucho, we hope to have you sitting down talking Hughes with us very soon. Very
sordid business. I think Talking Hughes could be the next Chris Hardwick AMC
yeah, TV show. As long as no ex-girlfriends of his come out and say what a douche tool he is.
Yeah, did he only have one of those, or were there a few of them?
Yeah, it was that Chloe Dykstra girl that, you know, I saw on G4 back in the day, and she kind of disappeared, and then she came forward and said all these bad things. And it's interesting that his other ex-girlfriends came forward, like Janet Varney, no relation to Jim. I've met Janet. She's a comedian. Mm-hmm. And she came forward to say, that doesn't sound like Chris at all. I dated Chris for years. We almost got married.
And that's what I thought.
He's a good guy.
This is one I haven't really followed in the,
but, yeah,
the Me Too era.
It happened when we were at Disney World, and I was like, holy shit, the Nerdist is just going to like crumble.
Right. But AMC is standing behind him, and other people are sticking up for him. Maybe it was an isolated thing if it happened
it's
at
hard
all,
to say.
But who knows?
I mean, I think every guy in the world has been an asshole, and there's things we've all done that if they came forward could really be horrible to like air
and anyone,
publicly.
Really. Like, you know, men and women.
Yeah.
Not to take away from the Me Too movement.
Right.
Because we're worse.
Yeah.
Women are worse.
But it's funny how some of those things came out. Like Aziz, he got accused of stuff. Right. And everybody,
and
like,
other people were like, well, is that...
she got more heat than he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not really, you know,
so
that's just a bad time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Chris Hardwick. That's been a tough one. That's it, right? And Aziz Ansari, that's a good analogy, because they're right in that realm of like, well... I'm not saying I disbelieve that it happened.
Right.
But this could be one of those cases where, like you said, where it's like, well, what if this was like an isolated thing? Maybe he was going through a bad time. Maybe it only happened in this one relationship and it was, you know, not to take away from her experience. But, yeah, you can't compare them all to Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
Because we have another one coming up in this movie. So we'll pause the Me Too conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has to come up again. Because we're going to kill Valentine's buzz.
Oh, what?
Never mind. That killed Valentine's
buzz. There's a drink. Neither would I. So he's in there smoking a joint. Until we get that crop report. Because, you know, why not?
He earned it. He worked his ass off.
It could have been cocaine.
Eve.
It was the 80s. But
in this case, it was the joint. That's the one thing we saw him put in his pocket when he was clearing the desk out.
But he's hearing their whole exposition dialogue here, and the gig is up. He knows what's going on with these two old fuckers. And now it's time to turn the table.
Yes.
And this is great.
This is the
Dan Aykroyd is just wandering the halls of his old employer,
and he says this.
Yeah.
Hey.
He just grunts.
He just, hey, what was that? You ever been this drunk before?
That drunk?
Yeah.
No. Where I've been in downtown Philly in a Santa suit, stumbling through traffic?
I mean, maybe not having this exact experience.
I mean, I've been drunk before. Fireball will usually do it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Spirit gum. Yeah, I don't do hard alcohol. Like hard liquor. I'll drink beer, and I try to stick to that. Once I start doing shots, that's when bad things happen.
Yeah.
I try to avoid hangovers.
Are you one of those, once you do shots, do you have ever bad good things happen, or are they always bad bad things that happen?
I'm a good drunk. Even if I'm like drunk, I'm still a fun drunk.
Okay.
I've never been in a fight in my life.
Okay.
I don't get argumentative and combative. I usually, from my perspective, I get even funnier and goofier. So, I mean, I'm already that way sober, so it's just, like, escalated. He's eating salmon through his beard on the public transportation.
Dressed as Dirty Sam.
Yes.
He looks as about
it's
as...
It's horrible. It's frightening to look at. But,
rock bottom as it gets.
Yeah.
This is a great scene. No dialogue, so it would be boring to just listen to. But he gets off the bus, having eaten salmon through his beard, standing there.
And we hear a sound effect, and we think, oh, he's peeing his pants. He looks down. Nope. It's a dog.
It's an adorable homeless dog peeing on his
who
leg.
Walks away in shame.
Walks away in shame. It whines with its tail down. Like, that's the worst thing that ever happened to me.
And then it rains.
And then it rains on him. And we remember that he has a gun.
Yeah.
And for a moment it gets like, oh my God, this is
It's going to get dark.
It doesn't go off. So he decides to just look at it like disappointedly and throw it. That is almost too dark to be funny.
Yeah.
And I think that he lands it perfectly. I think that scene is just hilarious.
Maybe sometime we'll do an episode with some shots involved. That'll be a sleepover episode.
Yeah, exactly. We do not recommend driving after you've been doing shots.
No.
In fact, we think
Louie, when you get out, I have a big surprise for you.
Oh. Anal.
The door was open.
At least.
Yeah. It's Christmas. I mean, I don't know about the listeners. That's how we celebrate baby Jesus' birthday.
Louie?
You say we. Do you mean you and me, or do you mean you and your... Because...
I mean the royal we.
I meant the royal we, man.
If you don't go to a midnight mass or a service of some sort, you're butt fucking, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You're gonna stop by the ATM at some point.
For God's sake, no excitement.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Doc.
Fuck my
God
ass.
God bless everyone. Yeah.
I'll let myself out, Coleman.
It's a special night, you know.
It comes once a year.
Oh, he wakes up in his old home, and he's like, "Oh, is the Wizard of Oz moment?"
Right.
Except there's a hooker in a Christmas sweater that I didn't know before,
and he drops the .5 N bomb, which didn't happen in the end of Wizard of Oz.
Nightmare. I was poor, and no one liked me. I lost my job. I lost my house. Penelope hated me. And it was all because of this terrible, awful Negro.
Oh, there he
look
is.
On his face.
God. It was the jokes.
He sounds like a munchkin.
I'm glad you think that's hilarious, because I thought that was so funny when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
They use us as guinea pigs, man. Deuce used us as guinea pigs. See how our lives would turn out. They made a bet.
That sweater's doing some work right now with Jamie Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Dukes ruined my life. Over a bet. For how much?
$1.
$1.
Make you holla for $1. He turns to her and he's like, what do you do for $1?
Right.
She's like, nothing.
Put a cigarette out in your eye.
Yeah.
No problem.
Which was actually said to a friend of mine.
She's just eating a salad.
Kneecaps with a double barrel shotgun because you pissed at him.
He's eating a bowl of weed.
Yeah.
Why not? Saw with a deadly weapon.
I'm imagining. Okay, I was like I'm guessing the TV's on. Otherwise, she's staring at the wall, smiling like a crazy person.
I'm pretty sure she was breaking character, but she looked great breaking character. So Landis was like,
I like how they're getting all these shotguns out to go after the Duke brothers.
Right.
Them Duke boys is at it again. I recognize that guy.
I was thinking the same thing. He looks familiar. Did he play like a football player? Let's do some
research here.
Paid me to talk dirty to you.
In charge of security is Mr. Clarence Beeks, head of Lyndhurst Security.
Clarence Beeks!
The Duke just gave that guy $10,000.
$10,000.
Newscaster Bill Boggs.
Payroll to him for $50,000. Mortimer said it was for research.
Yeah, research, and I can get his hands on that top secret crop report. I
love Dan Aykroyd's hunting vest.
He plays a reporter and devil's advocate. The entire frozen orange juice market. He plays a TV show host in Miami Vice. News person in Safe Passage. So maybe he's just actually a news guy, because that's all he plays.
It's like the news guy in Arrested Development, who's actually a news anchor in California.
He did an episode of Chappelle's Show, too. So, yeah. Weird. This is a very complicated phone system. Operation Strange Fruit.
I anticipate penetration.
I've always wanted to do this.
I anticipate penetration.
Fuck off. When
can we expect delivery? He has a picture of Nixon by his phone, and his brother has one of Reagan, I think.
It's, yeah, there's a little comedic elements. John Landis.
They're gonna have they're gonna do a whole deep throat thing here, and I'm not referring to Jamie Lee.
Final payment is due on delivery.
You ever seen, what is it, All the President's Men? Is
not
that
yet.
The Watergate?
I've been meaning to. William Goldman wrote the screenplay, and I've been meaning to watch it for years.
Rest in peace.
Raising a glass.
Princess Bride.
That's three.
We're all about death here in December.
We watch death, or we talk about death during comedies.
Hey, oh, James there's Belushi. James Jim Belushi. That's racist.
Who's supposed to be kind of a complete piece of shit in real life, from what I've heard.
Well, you know, the wrong Belushi died, as everybody says. But John Belushi wouldn't have done Curly Sue. But imagine if he had.
That was John Hughes, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Chris Columbus?
No, that's John Hughes. Okay. It's a future episode that I don't own that one.
Okay.
So it will need to be acquired. So this is a fun party, I guess.
That looks like Penelope. When I was a kid, I thought that was Penelope.
Yeah, she's super cute.
Haven't you had enough to drink?
Are you kidding? It's not even New Year's Eve.
Jim Belushi not acting at all.
Yes, I'm a big gorilla. The whole gorilla thing's weird, right?
Oh, yeah. That's like, super weird.
Yeah, we have Al Franken. Senator Al Franken.
Former Senator Franken.
I don't know if you call him still senator. Like, what? Presidents are always presidents.
I think when you resign in disgrace,
probably.
You kind of become a former.
All right, so
no
Stuart Smalley is sitting here. This is before he's good enough, smart enough, and doggone it, people like him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know who's playing the gorilla.
This is an actor who, he was also the gorilla in...
Don McLeod is his name, and he's from The Howling.
Was he Spaceballs as well?
He was in Hook, The Man with Two Brains.
He does a lot of, he was the gorilla in that. He, like, made a career for a little while as a gorilla actor.
Happy New Year. In this country,
he did an Amazing Stories. So this just reminds me of Coming to America.
Yeah.
You know?
I am Nanja Ibukor, exchange...
Which exists in the same universe, so it's okay to think of.
Right.
I want to see that third installment of the spinoff from this movie.
Coming to America, in the collection. We have not done that episode yet.
Yeah, I want to
see... Maybe we will visit McDowell's in the future.
Was it Prince Azeem? Was that his name?
Akeem.
Akeem.
When you think of garbage, think of Akeem.
There you go. I want to see Akeem and Billy Ray Valentine meet each other.
That'd be good.
Not Freaky Friday. What was the one with the separated twins? What was that?
Yeah, that was Freaky. Parent Trap.
Yeah, Parent Trap.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be weird, though, because they're parents. Yeah. Please. So we want to... that way it wouldn't work.
Maybe they just look alike.
Maybe a new version of twins instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
Hey, it's Johnny from Airplane.
Gotcha. Now, I doubt if you have any problems, but if you do,
there's a tank make a hat or a brooch or a pterodactyl.
Al Franken playing a stoner.
Say, have you guys been drinking?
No, sir, not
us. Well,
and I'm guessing that Franken did smoke a lot of pot back
in
the day. Happy New Year!
That's and here's Coleman as a drunk Irish priest.
Either of you two gentlemen, a wee jolt of Irish whiskey.
And this is so absurd. Like, you know, Paul Gleason sitting in there is like, how many other weird stereotypes are going to walk in?
Right.
But wait.
Oh,
the best one is yet
just
to
got
come.
Started.
Take it in moderation.
Beef jerky.
Thank you very much. You know, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
And this is a solid script to begin with, but it's one of those
we are moving
that you can tell they were having fun modifying.
Oh yeah, totally. There's Jim Belushi.
This is actually a stuntman. This is not Jim Belushi.
Oh really?
It's a stuntman in the gorilla suit.
Did that say Baltimore? Wire.
I think it's in baggage.
I don't know, but they're in Philly and they're supposed to be going to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, here we go.
Originally, she was supposed to play an Austrian character, could not do the accent.
I'm okay with it. Me too.
Am I right?
No, I am Inga from Sweden.
Sweden, those are my people.
Yeah?
Yeah, originally. And
like,
German.
Like 100%, okay.
Sweden relocated to Germany.
All right.
So she's kind of incorporating both.
That's the attraction.
I'm okay with it. I think he should be saying that.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah, I got the German, a little bit of Hungarian, a little bit of Irish.
Yeah.
Actually, a lot of Irish.
So it's Christmas time. So I do two traditions to incorporate. While they do the switcheroo with the briefcases here, I do a German Christmas tradition and a Swedish Christmas tradition.
What's the German?
The German, I go up north to the Windy City. And there is the Christ Kindle Market.
We are
Daily Plaza.
We might go do the same thing this year.
I try to go every year, and I have a collection of the mugs. I get some Glühwein every year. I usually drink a Bitburger as well. I get my toasted cheese pretzel that I get once a year,
nice.
And I buy a bunch of stuff, and it's just fun. It's an open-air Christmas market. It puts me in the Christmas spirit being outside in the big city in the snow. It's
mm-hmm.
it's fun. And then for Swedish, we go to Bishop Hill, which is a small community kind of like northwest of Peoria, and they have the Yule Marknad, which is the Swedish Christmas thing. And it's a small town, and they have a bunch of houses that have been converted into, like, antique stores almost. And they also have a bunch of little Swedish Christmas traditions, such as the Tomten, which are like elves. And they get neighborhood children to dress up as them, and they run around the neighborhood all afternoon. Oh, this is horrible. Dan Aykroyd blackface.
See, now, is it excusable because, A, Eddie Murphy had so much to do with the production of the film?
Probably.
Slash, he's doing more of a Rastafarian
yeah.
thing. He's not doing, like an inner-city, like, urban
right.
dialect, as they say. Like, it... Like, the fact that they're actually friends in real life and Eddie Murphy
yeah.
is, like, so involved.
It's not like C. Thomas Howell, Soul Man.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they're smoking weed on the train. Rolled up of a big blunt. And
but you've never smoked before.
Cigarettes, yes.
Okay.
So I had Swedish meatballs yesterday.
Oh,
she has a heart stitched
Swedish
into
meatballs.
That
I saw
Lederhosen.
That her Oshkosh Magosh. mini skirt.
Yeah. They have the Yule goat at Swedish Christmas.
Is it like a Krampus?
Kind of. It's a guy that wears a wicker like helmet.
This sounds fascinating.
I'm going to show you pictures. The kids are frightened and I enjoy it.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
But he runs around and he's got like this bundle of sticks. Also, a word that they use a lot in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he like carries them and he will like at people.
Okay.
And you can do photo ops with him.
That's pretty Krampus-like. That
and,
is
but yeah, they're called Yule Box. You will see a lot of like wicker goats around the town, but there's a guy that wears a helmet. And he's the Yule goat.
I want to check that out.
So, yeah, like I try to incorporate my heritage into my Christmas celebrations. And it's fun, you know. So Helga or Inga or whatever her name is, Merry Christmas to her.
And we miss the... hey, Sprechen Sie talk?
Hey, I'm Jim Dillon.
Did we miss the rip out your eyes and piss on your brain line?
I don't think so.
I think that's still coming up in the next car. I think we did miss it. Anyway, that line was Eddie Murphy's idea. They were trying to think of what's a really, like, they actually broke for a moment to all, like, consider what's the best line we can come up with. But Eddie Murphy got his start in comedy doing sounders, like the, you know, your mama's so fat, you know, your mama's so poor, those kind of jokes. And so he was really good at those quick, like, you know, vulgar, cut to the point joke one-liner kind of things. And he said, how about it's just, I'll rip out your eyes and piss on your brain. And they were like, shit, that's the way to go. Oh my God, and now I'm seeing a shot, a picture
of the Yule goat.
The Yule goat.
And that, yeah, my daughter running away from the Yule goat. And that was 4 years ago. So, yeah, it's a Yule goat's pretty badass. I like how, so yeah, they're putting the monkey suit on the one guy here. And they're going to put him in the cage with the gorilla. And the gorilla's like, yeah.
Gorilla's looking forward to it.
Yeah. He just did the motorboat face. Like,
air motorboat.
Yeah. Hey, look what happened to me. Huh? Yeah, look what happened. I got naked.
And blue, yeah, great.
I just keep picturing, like, Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yeah.
Right now.
Totally.
Hey, look at him, eh?
Man, Strange Brew is... Did you know that when they made that movie, like, they had a script that then they went back through...
That movie's a mess. I love it, but it's a mess. It was episode two of the show.
Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis went back through, and they rewrote every scene that they were in, but not the others, because the studio wouldn't let them, like... have complete cut over the
screen.
That's why their scenes are awesome.
Yeah.
And really fucking funny. And the rest of the movie is like, what the fuck is going... They're like, space hockey players? What's happening? They're like being mind controlled by a video game? What the fuck? Over here.
This is the deep throat moment.
Right. Yeah. This is apparently every independent film from the 90s was inspired by this scene. Guys in trench coats and briefcases. And briefcases full of money.
I wish I had a briefcase full of money.
Every time Billy Ray uses that voice, I think... Even on the doorstep and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. And what's crazy is, for years I thought that was a real movie. It wasn't. Like, yeah, that was made specifically for Home Alone. Because what happened was, I heard that guy, his voice or whatever, in another movie. I'm like, wait, he'd be dead. And then I had to do some research. It's like, holy shit, Angels with Filthy Souls isn't a real movie.
Yeah, I thought it was like a... sort of like Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, where he just found an old movie that he could get the rights to include and work off of.
I bustle. Hey, she has reasonably sized earrings now.
Her character is progressing.
Right?
She's maturing.
I'm all about reasonably proportioned things. And now she's reasonably proportioned all the way around.
Losing the wig helped as well.
Yeah.
Although I think that
Do you think this guy would fall for a hooker, though? Because he was with Penelope, who, let's be honest, she seemed kind of just the way she was portrayed, like, oh, you're the first guy, like, we've almost been promised to each other, like, she's not really whoring it up. And... he hasn't explored much beyond that. So then to get with somebody who fucks other men for a living seems like a very big leap.
I think that that's one thing this movie could have done, is spent a little bit more time with
them growing closer together.
Because I got the impression that his old, you know, racquetball buddies and, you know, everybody...
were all fucking Penelope?
They've all fucked each other 100 times.
Oh, okay.
Through Ivy League. Like,
yeah, that's possible. And
like I said, you know, like, reminds me of Kavanaugh. They were all doubles triangling it up way back in the day, but that was all under...
Twin Towers.
You know, that fraternity kind of...
Second movie in a row with the Twin Towers. Yeah. Evidently, it's 9/11 month here on Drunk at the Movies. Actually, it may be. With next week, it's possible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I haven't rewatched it yet before we do our show, so I can't say for certain. But yeah, there's a possibility the Twin Towers are featured prominently in every fucking movie we do this month. So bizarre.
So Eddie Murphy, I read, it was very cold when they were shooting. Like you can't tell how cold it was because like you
well, look at the wind.
Yeah, if you look at the wind, and if you look at the ground there, there was still ice.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at those extras, and they are booking it.
Oh yeah, they're holding on to hats and everything.
So and Eddie Murphy hates the cold.
Mm.
Great, he's supposed to be a great guy to work with and everything, but he hates the cold so much that he would just sit in the limo and watch porn to keep himself warm in between takes.
Now they have to film him from the waist up,
right?
But gentlemen, they're going to broadcast the crop report in an hour. What if they're...
Let us worry about that, Wilson.
Hmm. The crop report sounds exciting.
Yes, sir.
Oh, drinking. Elsa, Harry. Drinking in the John.
Pretty good. Has hypertension.
Hasn't bothered me in months.
Now, when they were shooting all of this stuff for the stock exchange scene,
mm-hmm.
they couldn't go in and shoot actual stock exchange happening because that was going to give them, like, they legally couldn't do
it. Right.
That. So they had to reenact a lot.
And they're off. This.
Right. I like that little and they're off reference. So they hired extras who actually work in the stock exchange.
Okay.
To be the extras on set because they actually knew the mannerisms of what the area would look like.
Let's kick some
but they
ass.
Couldn't legally hire people who do trade
I
to
gotcha.
Be in the scene because they could have given away insider tips. Like
okay.
It was apparently a real involved production. And they used a combination of stock footage, extras.
What do you get trophies for in the stock market?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Best hair?
Full attendance,
most hand signals in an hour,
best hand work,
yeah,
best hand job.
So gold, silver, platinum, heating, propane, cocoa, and of course FCOJ, which I'm not even joking, it does stand for frozen concentrate orange juice. I looked it up. I was like, oh, that's got to be an acronym for something else, and I did some research. I'm like, holy shit, no, it actually does stand for frozen concentrated orange juice. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, and the absurdity of it lends itself to comedy, but it's all so true.
Yeah.
Like, all of this is not even that funny, but they find the humor in it. There were even laws put into place because of this movie.
Yeah, the Eddie Murphy law or whatever they call it.
Now, can you break this down better for those of us who don't really follow the stock exchange?
Yeah, I'm not super up on stuff, but it has to do with cornering a market. If I remember right,
I've seen this movie probably literally 2 dozen times throughout my entire life.
Yeah,
and I still like I get the basics of it, but I'm still like, well, I don't know how they did it, or you know what? I know they fucked with the numbers and put out a false report,
right?
And that's how they fucked over the Dukes.
In 2010, as part of the Wall Street Transparency and Accountability Act, which was to regulate financial markets, a rule was included which barred anyone from using secret inside information to corner markets, similar to what the Duke brothers do in this movie. Since the movie inspired this rule, it has since become known as the Eddie Murphy rule.
Right.
So, insider trading's been a big deal for a while, but we see that it's starting at like 103 or something. It's jumping up to the 110s right now, and this guy sees that they're trying to corner the market. Let's get in on it.
So when things are happening, gets on it, it magnifies.
Yeah, it starts a boom.
It starts a demand for the market, essentially.
Yeah.
So yeah, these shots of Aykroyd and Murphy. I mean, almost every shot being edited together.
Sell 200 April at 142.
So what does that mean?
I don't know, but what I think it is like he's selling at an incredibly low rate.
Gotcha. Okay.
So everybody's doing it, but by doing that, it's dropping a value.
Okay.
I don't know, but he's fucking him in the ass harder than Jamie Lee Curtis has had it in this whole movie.
What are they doing here?
They're selling, Mortimer.
Well, that's ridiculous. Unless that crop report...
Dun, dun, dun.
God help us.
And it's dropping. And I don't know how they're keeping track of all of this. Like, is it the honor system? Because they're just yelling shit at each other.
Yeah.
This isn't an auction. They're trying to get to the guy because they told him to buy, and now they need him to sell, but he's getting swept up in the mass of people, and the numbers just keep dropping. Ridiculous.
See, all this stuff is very exciting. I have no idea what it means.
Right.
It's very exciting.
Somebody's making and or losing a lot of money.
Right. But even that, the fact that we know that this is exciting and a big deal, and we know who's winning and who's losing.
Oh, and here we go. It's now a report from the Secretary of the Agriculture, because this interrupts broadcast television all the time.
I think this is closed circuit. I think this is how this actually happens.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, not now, but then.
Hi, guys.
Gentlemen, the orange crop estimates for the next year.
With the first pick in the 2018 draft, the New Jersey Nets select frozen orange juice concentrate from Orlando. After calculating
the estimates, didn't even have the decency to test his product on prisoners. Included
the
following.
The cold winter has apparently not affected the orange harvest.
Uh-oh. That means there's going to be a lot of oranges, and now the price plummets even more. They're not even listening to the guy. They could just tell him to stop talking. Everybody's clocking in. There's buttons being pushed. And it's now 77.
We're now watching Family Feud.
Yeah. Survey says somebody's losing money. 46. And now they're going to buy. When it's 46, they're going to buy all the stuff.
So this is supposed to be pretty a pretty realistic interpretation of what the New York Stock Exchange looks like.
You know, I know why they all drink now and right. Do drugs.
Now the hypertension joke makes a lot of sense.
And he's getting swept up. He's down.
Looks kind of like the Phantom at the end of the 1927 Phantom of the Opera. Is that 27?
Oh, dude, just fireman carried him out. I can't. I don't want to, Father. I want to sing. Uh-oh, the market's closed. That's not good.
100?
So did you get the 100?
100?
Oh, that guy got 5. Yep, 5.
I want to see John Landis do just a straight drama. I feel like the man could capture drama perfectly. He uses so much drama in his comedies and his horror films.
Happy New Year!
That's just dropping of the papers. This is a great, you know, emasculated
How could you do this look. To us after everything we've done for you?
They are crestfallen.
Great word.
Lewis bet me that we couldn't both get rich and put y'all in the poorhouse at the same time. He didn't think we could do it. I won.
They got their wager.
$1.
Thank you, Lewis.
After you.
It'd be great to see these two in a movie today.
Yeah.
To just meet up again to do like one film. Like a modern day buddy.
Oh, there's the escargot guy.
Yeah.
The rules of the exchange, Mr. Duke. All accounts to be settled at the end of the day's trading. Without exception.
You know perfectly well we don't have $394 million in cash.
I'm sorry, boys.
Kind of looks but like, what's his name? Lipton from Inside the Actors Studio.
James Lipton. You are a delight.
We're ruined.
Oh, there he goes.
Great
scene. I demand an investigation. You can't sell our seats.
This is a one-take shot coming up here.
Since it was founded. We founded this exchange. It's ours. It belongs to
They're
us.
Old money.
Mormon, your brother's not well. We better call an ambulance. Fuck him! Get those brokers back in here!
Don Amici does not like using profanity.
He did it well.
He would do one take of that, so they could only get it in one take.
And there he goes.
So perfect.
Nobel Prize, you idiot!
Where's Beaks? Where in the hell is Beaks?
His double take there was...
Hey, I forgot all about that guy.
Oh, we know what's up with him. He's on the ship Rasselton.
And they actually went to New York. This is their one, they traveled to New York for this one shot. These were like two shots.
Okay, one male gorilla.
Hey, wait a minute. There's two of them in that cage.
One gorilla, two gorillas. Big deal. The whole bunch is getting sent back to Africa. It's a big scientific experiment.
And what do I know? It's so absurd that they would think that's a real gorilla. Like, right. You can see it's a mask, clearly.
Third take to the camera.
Yeah.
Forgot about that one.
Ah, on a private island, we sunning in Jamaica, drinking some Corona, a red stripe, hey, whatever.
Now we are rich.
Yeah. I mean, he's still wearing a sweater. Rich. Why would you wear a sweater on a tropical paradise?
What should we do about lunch? The lobster, the crack crab.
What do you think?
Can't we have both?
Of course, she's a fucking gold digger.
She a Carrera?
Yeah, right? That's her mom.
Oh.
Sir, lobster and crack crab for everyone. Extra primo good, Mr. Goldman-sup.
Now they could do a third movie, or a second movie, where that guy ends up getting rich.
Yeah. Oh, toasting on the boat.
The only thing that would have made this, I'm going to go back from what I said earlier. I said this is a perfect Christmas movie for me.
Yeah.
It should have ended with them giving half the money to charity. And then we saw like an orphanage in New York. Like suddenly all the kids were happy and found home.
No, they waited until February, and then he has a big event called Valentine's Day.
Yeah, that's the ticket. Yeah. That's the ticket. That's what he did.
So... And here we go, the end credits, breaking character. Dan Aykroyd.
And I see why
Eddie
he broke character after the grunt that Dan Aykroyd did earlier.
So that is Trading Places. That was fun.
Love this movie. I love Jamie Lee. She was just cracking up during, that's the scene earlier.
Yeah.
Like, what's she laughing at on that TV?
Right.
That's the exact same shot. So she was clearly just cracking up. From whatever was happening on set.
And here's one of my favorite songs from the American Graffiti soundtrack. Get a Job.
Dip, 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 get a job. Which, this just reminds me of the ending credits to Clue again. I mean, no, it's not the same song.
Right,
but it sounds like Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Yeah, very, very, very similar. So, yeah.
And Hooker 2 is played by Bara Khan, maybe related to Madeline Kahn. Maybe there are connections between this movie and
Star Trek.
Or Star Trek, yeah. Maybe she had great pectoral muscles.
So, we always talk at the end of the movie, does this one hold up? Again, I don't think we really need to debate this very much.
We talked about it a lot.
We did during the movie.
Aside from a few things that were considered appropriate at the time that definitely aren't appropriate now.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of words that were used, that kind of thing. I fucking love this movie.
Yeah. It's a great... Great film. Again, not a traditional Christmas movie, but for you people who prefer non-traditional things like we do, it's a perfect pick. And also, you know, you're getting Eddie Murphy in what could be called his, like, comedic prime.
Yeah, kind of his breakthrough
Dan
performance.
Dan Aykroyd, you know, right around his. And Jamie Lee, yeah, 24-year-old Jamie Lee Curtis, enough said. And rest in peace, Stan Lee. And it's a delightful romp.
And then to have classic actors, Ralph Bellamy, Don Amici, Denholm Elliott, and, you know, the fact, I mean, the reason it all came together as beautifully as it did is it was all under the direction of John Landis, of course.
Yeah, and this is coming off of the Twilight Zone after he, like, killed the guy.
Yeah, after that happened on his watch.
So, I mean, that could have been enough to, like, completely... throw off anybody's career and make them lose some sort of a zest for the filmmaking industry.
Yeah.
But no, like,
well, he kept the comedy going.
Came back with a very solid comedy movie that I think people have been a fan of for many, many years. So while the credits are rolling and we already polished off that, you know, our pelvises, You know, we the My pelvic sorcery. Yeah, we enjoyed that, and we drank a little extra because, hey, it's the holidays, and that's what people do to get through them. We're going to cut. We have one more song for you, our closing credits song, and this is from C.J. Ramone of The Ramones. He was the bass player that took over for Dee Dee Ramone after Dee Dee left in the 90s. And my buddy Josh from the Huntingtons plays guitar for CJ on tour on a very regular basis. I got to go up and hang out with Josh and met CJ when they played in Chicago earlier this year. And CJ has a Christmas song, and it's called Christmas Lullaby, and we're going to play it right now. It's just some good old New York punk rock. Merry Christmas. Here's CJ Ramone on Drunk at the Movies. So thank you again to Reggie and the Full Effect and CJ Ramone for letting us feature their music on this episode. You can hear both of those songs by re-listening to this episode, but you can also find them on you know, your favorite music listening sites.
And thanks again to Rogue Quant, who runs a podcast where he talked to the first assistant director from Trading Places, and that's where we got a lot of inside information on the behind-the-scenes look at this. So be sure to check that out for all the inside info from Mr. Green, as he calls himself. He's very hesitant to use his full name for some reason, the AD. But yeah, another Clue reference has worked its way into this podcast.
So we've done Santa Claus the movie. We've done Trading Places. We've got one more Christmas episode for you coming next week. We're going to do a classic. We did Muppet Christmas Carol last year. I love A Christmas Carol. We're going to do another take on it. Bill Murray, Scrooged.
Bringing Richard Donner back again, because we love him as much as John Landis, apparently.
Exactly. And we should have a special guest on that episode, so stay tuned for that. There should be a third party. We had a guest for Santa Claus, the movie. This one we just did, the two of us.
Yeah.
Just the two of
us. Trading Places, a buddy film. It's a two-person movie.
You and I. And some boobs.
Have been serenaded.
Yeah.
Holiday is complete.
It's a good time. All right. Well, we hope to see some of you guys at Bearded Owl coming up for that Christmas vinyl event. If not, hey, look for me and Seth at the Chris Kindle Market up in Daly Plaza.
Right. One of the days, if you go up there, you got a chance of running into one of us.
Yeah. Just just run around saying, hey, drug at the movies. And, you know, some people will be like, what? And maybe you'll get lucky.
It's normal on the streets of Chicago to just run around yelling drunk at the movies.
All right. Well, we are going to call this a complete episode at this point, and we will be back next week for some more Christmas fun. So
until then, happy holidays.
Yeah. This is Dustin.
This is Seth.
Saying you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Trading Places, but it doesn't hurt. We'll see you next time.